and welcome. You're listening to the Genesis Podcast, the official podcast of the Genesis Community Church in Upland, California. It is our goal to inspire one another to change the world by effectively living in the way of Jesus. Check out our website, thegenesisstory.com. There, you can learn more about us, where and when we meet, ways to invest and support, but most importantly, how to get connected. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Randy has a jean shirt on today, opposed to the vest, the classic Randy vest and fedora. It's St. Patrick's Day, so he wanted to show out for you guys. So thank you, Randy. And before we get into the talk, Sam had some words he wanted to share with us. And if you guys have that video up.
Hey, everyone. I wanted to take some time and thank all of you on behalf of Green and my family and myself for all the kind words, the prayers, and the generous support that you've given us. It means so much, and it has helped to keep us connected and from isolating ourselves completely. I also want to thank Randy and Brian for picking up the slack and covering for me, as well as Gil and Rick that keep Genesis running week by week. Can't do this without all of you. We also want you to know that you are invited to our son Samuel's memorial service. It's next Sunday, the 24th at 5 p.m. And I think the information is on the various social media apps. But if you need the info, you can contact one of us and we'd be glad to pass it on to you. I'm really at a loss to describe how we are doing. We're not well, but we're together, and that seems to be what's most important right now. The guys have told me that I can take whatever time I need to care for my family and myself, and I'm going to take them up on that. That being said, I'm not sure when I will be back to teaching. Right now, I'm taking each day as it comes, but it's hard to think about more than what's on our plate right now. But we are so grateful for you, and I just needed to thank you. We love you and are grateful for your love and kindness towards us. And take care.
We got a full team back there working, guys. Can we get up for Rick and Gil real quick? Clap it up for Rick and Gil. They're running a full-man team back there. And so we have Samuel's service flyer up on here. So if you, like Sam said, we're all welcome. And I hope you take him up on that, because I know it's going to make him happy to see all of us there. And we miss you, Sam. We miss you, Corrine. And we're praying for you and the family. And we can't wait to see you again. And like you said, take us up on the offer. We'll be here and keep the machine going for as long as you need. So take your time. And we're here for whatever you need. So a couple announcements. On April 4th, we're doing a storytelling night here. It's not going to be open mic style. We're inviting three artists to be able to tell their stories through art on the stage. We'll have some food and drinks. And Randy and I have been working together as like a storytelling marketing platform. So this is a really cool way to be able to talk about what we're doing as well as highlight some of the artists in the area. So if you want to be a part of that, there's like serving opportunities as well. You can come and welcome the guests. We can, if you don't want to be here and you want to support financially, you can support one of the artists and sponsor one of the artists. And so I just want to start off real quick by praying for Sam and the family, and then also just getting into
They have so much stuff.
And not quite. Almost there, guys. I know this is crazy. There's been a lot going on this morning, and I think what's cool, this message didn't come very easy. It was like a lot of like spiritual battle stuff going on. Even walking in this morning, a lot of like, we're trying to figure it out in hecticness. So I just want to pray and just calm the room and invite God into this space. So God, we just thank you for the day-to-day. We thank you for the space. We thank you for Genesis and what it's meant to us and everybody that's stepped in this room or watched online, has been a part of this community. There's so many people that have been a part of this community in the past, that have planted the soil and are still a part of the community now. There are people that give, that have never stepped in this room, that have kept the lights going for us, and there's people that never heard your name in this world, and wherever side of the spectrum you are on, God, we just ask that you just reach beyond what we could even imagine. use me today to be able to relay the message you put into my heart. Thank you for the peace and opportunity to be able to speak. And I just thank you for everybody in this room. God, we ask you bless Sam, Kareen, Lauren, Daniel, and Jordan in this time, and the whole family. Just be with them. Surround them with peace, God. We know that when you enter a room, it changes situations. We know that when we invite you in, it changes situations. God, today's talk is about enough, having enough, being enough, not knowing what enough is, having too much, God. And again, whatever spectrum we are on in that, that you speak to us, use me to amplify your message. And we invite your Holy Spirit into this place. You take it over. That you overwhelm us with your presence. And we pray this in the most holy name of Jesus. Amen. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Brian. I'm part of the leadership and the tribe here at Genesis. And so we just want to welcome everybody that's online, tuning in now or later. Thank you for joining us. Like I was saying, I kind of had to white knuckle this message. Sometimes I think about a message I want to talk about and it just like spews out and it feels so natural. And this one, for some reason, it was like four different messages and it just turned into what it is today. And I just wanted to talk about the concept of enough. What is enough? How much is enough? Are we enough? Am I enough? What do we do when there's not enough? What does enough or lack mean in relationship to God? And what did Jesus teach about enough? So I have a lady to introduce you to. Do you have that picture, guys? Do you guys know this lady? That's my mom. That's my mom. That's not my mom. That's Marie Kondo. And she's a professional organizer and consultant. 2019, her TV show Tidying Up debuted, and it was a hit. Me and Alex watched it. It was a crazy experience. And now there's a short trailer that they have. You guys are lined up. You guys can go ahead and show that whenever you're ready. She came over from Japan and sat with people or families that had too much and taught them how to let things go and minimize and to organize. So, I'm good whenever you guys are. Yeah.
They have so much stuff.
It's a never-ending battle to fight the clutter.
With the baby coming, we got to get our stuff in order.
We had to downsize from a four-story house to a two-bedroom apartment.
I lost my husband. I don't know that I have everything it takes to get rid of his belongings.
Hello. I'm Marie Kondo. My mission is to make the world tidy.
It's that tidy.
This girl's no joke.
This is amazing.
We have too much stuff. It's official.
It's so hard to let it go.
I don't want to just, dump it. I want to be thoughtful about it.
Choose items that spark joy for you.
Spark joy.
It's not as easy as I thought it was going to be.
We're on board. We want to change. I just want it to be strong enough to change me.
I can let it go. Arigato.
I am going to figure out what sparks joy in my life.
I can't believe you can touch the carpet.
New day, new joy.
Thank you for being here for us and wanting to help us.
I hope you know how much this means to me.
Here we go.
Have you seen it? Anybody watch it? No? Me and Alex went through the whole thing, and she has this thing about thanking things for what they've done in the past. And if something does still spark joy in your life, to keep them, but keep them in a way that honors your space. But did you hear one of the ladies? She was like, I can't believe I can see my carpet. Yeah, and I was like, how much stuff do we have? You know? And some of those scenarios were heartfelt too. They were someone lost their spouse and they didn't want to get rid of those things. And how do we know how to get rid of those things? What does it feel like when we have too much stuff and we don't it doesn't bring us value anymore. We can't add value to our lives because of it anymore. And even so much so that we had to import, a little Japanese lady to tell us how to do this, and it just blew up. And we're so into it. It's not even the only show that's like it. There's like Hoarders. Have you guys ever watched Hoarders? And there's a whole list of shows that tells us about how much we have. In 2014, there was this really crazy statistic talking about how the first time in history as a nation, more people have died from overeating than undernourishment. And it's within this decade, it's the first time that more people have died because we had too much than too little. And there is a million other statistics like this when it comes to housing and the financial deficit. And it's alarming because it feels like we have enough, right? And we just don't know what that looks like. And so it seems we have enough, and enough speaks to limits, or there being a limit. And enough is kind of a strange word. It kind of asks questions and it reveals motives. There's no set value to enough. In most circumstances, it's really subjective to the perception and the context which is being applied. It's relative to what you perceive as an adequate amount in a current situation. So like if I had a pile of quarters and I was telling my niece, you know, I got to stop using my niece because she's 17 now. I was going to say buy some gumballs, but she's here's a pile of quarters for you, Brianna. You can buy some gumballs, and this would be enough. This would be adequate, right, for the situation. But if I had two $20 bills, for example, and that would be more than enough for the gumballs, but what if someone said, I need you to pay for dinner for 20 people with this $40? Though it's more, it's not adequate. And I think that's one way to think about subjective enough and objective enough. If me and Adelia walked into Porsche today and said we wanted to buy a 911 and had a subjective amount of money we wanted to pay for this car, they would objectively push us over to Kia dealership, maybe, you know? And there's nothing wrong with Kia unless you didn't have enough money to buy the Kia and walked into Porsche with a pocket full of hopes and dreams, right? And so I was working at a car dealership. I know a lot of you guys know I just came out of a car dealership as a job for 10 years. And I remember people actually walking in, buying cars cash. And one particular, a guy did buy a Porsche cash, and I was able to verify his funds. We had to check money, how much money they had to make sure the check's good or whatever. And I saw how much money was in his bank account, right? And I've never really seen that much money in that form before, you know? And I go, why are you buying a used one? Why are you buying a used Porsche? You know, like, and he's like, I was gonna buy a Lamborghini, but this was kind of his frugal, you know? This is what frugal looked like for him. And on the other spectrum, I saw people that shouldn't have bought a Ford Fiesta because they had no intention of making the first payment, financed with zero money down, and, you know, and still that was too much, you know? And so it's like, what does enough mean, right? In most scenarios, you don't perceive yourself to have enough. In most scenarios where you don't perceive yourself to have enough, we can assume there's a comparison being made with someone or something that you desire to be more like, or that's greater than you. So I want to jump into a verse in Genesis 3, NIV, if you have your Bibles, or they're going to put it on the screen. And this is the story of Adam and Eve when they're in the garden. And I want to start here because I feel like there's a lot of roots and wisdom in the Genesis story. So I'm going to go ahead and read. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any of the tree in the garden?'" Do you ever think like that the devil, the serpent in this story, sounds like your friend from college? That's like, do you really have to work tomorrow? Or, you know, like that kind of thing. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. All right. Yeah, when I was reading this, and oddly enough, when I was reading through all the stories that I was trying to choose for this, they all had themes of enough or not enough or lack. You know, there was all these kind of like these little nuggets of wisdom. You know, like I think God's always asking us, if we have enough or what is enough, you know? And in the following verse, I didn't ask him to put it up there, but what happens is they take a bite of the fruit and they realize they're naked and they hide from God. And God says, where are you, right? And I, to this day, I still think the best translation of that is Christine Kane when she says, I don't think God was asking where they were because he knew where the garden, he knew all about the garden. It was his garden. He didn't say, where are you physically? He says, where is the you I created? You know, I think he was asking, where is the one that knew they had enough? Where was the one that had self-control and discipline? Where was the one that I made that felt like they were complete? Where is that person? And I think another thing this speaks to is enough knowledge. Has someone ever told you something, told you a secret maybe, and you didn't, later you're like, I wish I didn't know that, you know? Like it was too much information. You know, and this might speak to the gossip types. If you're if you indulge in gossip, I think there's such thing as enough knowledge, you know? Like not everything's for you. And in other words, you had enough information and now you have an amount of information that you can't handle. And enough information, I think God is asking us to learn and take in information at a pace that honors him as well, right? There's this really cool quote from an Indonesian poet named Toba Beda, and he says, greed is a little more than enough. And if you think about it, one tree and a whole garden to stay away from, you know? So one tree, like what's our one tree? Like we all got a one tree, right? Like God says, you could have everything. I gave you everything. You live inside of a beautiful fence, but you got one thing to stay away from. What is your one tree? And to put that in a modern day scenario, what if like Alex and I play this silly game when we're driving too long or in a table and we say like, what would you do if there was an apocalypse? Or what would you hide? Where would you hope to hide? Right? And I always say like Costco would be a good place, you know, because they got beds, they have food, there's TVs, clothes. I mean, you're just gonna be okay, you know. I think. And I just think about, like, what if God was in this scenario and he was like, you're good. All of Costco is yours. You just got to stay away from the lemon pie and the whiskey, right? And I use those two things because I love both. You know, it would be my tree, you know? I'd be over there on the massage chair eating the samples. And the next thing you know, I'm like, I wish I had some lemon pie and some whiskey, right? And God's like, no, you had more than enough. And your one tree is that a little bit over is the greed, is where the enemy. I can picture someone coming to me like what if God was like, everything is yours, you can have that, but what if we up the ante, right? He was like, but as soon as you took a bite of the lemon pie and the whiskey, everybody got chicken pox, you know? You and everybody in this place got chicken pox. And what if one person here died, you know? What if, and this could have kept on getting worse. And I feel like even when God's giving these rules and under certain circumstances, we still are like, there's still someone that comes up and says, did God really say, you know, like, you think everybody in here is going to get chicken pox? You think you're really going to die? You think that's really going to ruin your life? That lie that, do you think that's really going to ruin your life? Could really ruin your life. You know what I mean? That could really change things. Prohibition causes desire. Desire causes comparison. Comparison creates illusions of lack. And how do we prepare when we are to experience our one tree, our serpent? When God did God really say? Okay, so we know the feelings and lies of desire and comparison creep in, but what if God is in it? Like, what if we're doing everything right? What if we invite Jesus into a scenario? What if we're living side by side with Jesus, but it's still not enough? And so I want to go to Matthew 14, 13 to 21, and I want to have a snapshot of what I think this looks like when we invite Jesus into scenarios or doing life with Jesus and we still don't have enough. What does that look like? How does Jesus respond? So in 13, it says, this is happening right when Herod killed John the Baptist, and Jesus kind of escapes to a retreat because he's saddened by the news, and a crowd of people start to follow him over to this desert. And it says, when Jesus heard that John had been killed, he went there by boat to a desert. He wanted to be alone. When the people knew it, he followed after him by land and from the cities. When he got out of the boat, he saw many people. He had a loving pity for them and healed those who were sick. When it was evening, his followers came to him. They said, "This is a desert. The day is past. Send the people away so they may go into the towns and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They do not have to go away. Give them something to eat," they said to him. They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus said, "Bring them to me." He told the people to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He looked up to the heavens, gave thanks. He broke the loaves into pieces and gave them to his followers. The followers gave them to the people. They all ate and were filled. They picked up 12 baskets of pieces of bread and fish. After the people were finished eating, about 5,000 men ate, women and children also. Jesus did the Marie Kondo movement. He gave thanks, you know? He gave thanks and something changed, right? That's just a side note. But I'll pay attention to a few things. In 15, he tells his disciples tell Jesus to send them away. He says, let them go back and take care of themselves. One of the things that was really traumatic for me growing up in the church was when the church didn't want or treated people a certain way that they didn't want in part of the club, right? That will be burned into my memory for a very long time. How I felt like I was being taught about this loving Jesus, but there was this organization that I was a part of that didn't treat everybody like that. And they would clothe it in really cool sayings like, we love the sinner but hate the sin. There's other places Jesus could take care of them and just not here, you know? And if you watch Jesus in this story, and this is why I still follow Jesus, and this is why I'm still here. Jesus says in verse 17, they're not going anywhere. Give them something to eat. Enough requires responsibility and sacrifice. My parents, they gave up a lot so that me and my sister wouldn't feel our lack, you know? And I think this is how Jesus responds to this. Jesus is saying, do you understand what needs to be done? We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. There's not enough, Jesus. And I'm a little bit frustrated because I would think there would be one person that would have stepped up and said, like, no, I've seen Jesus do a lot. I think he's going to work this out, you know? But not one person says it. Instead, they say, send them out. Let someone else take care of them. And to me, it's kind of baffling. After all the stuff they've seen Jesus do, they're not, one person wasn't like, Jesus, I think he got this. I watched him turn a whole bunch of water into wine the other day, and he healed a whole bunch of people today. And we have five loaves and 2 fish, but no faith, right? And I thought it was such a weird thing that the people closest to him would send out those people that were there to see Jesus. And then Jesus gave thanks. He gave praise and he raised the fish in the air and fed 5,000 people, right? Kyle goes crazy. Goes wild. But is that how the story goes? Really? If you pull it up, Rick, could you pull up 19 one more time for me if you have it lined up? He said he told the people to sit on the grass. Then he took the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He looked up to the heaven, gave thanks. He broke the loaves in the pieces and gave them to his followers. He gave them to his followers. He gave them to his followers. The followers gave them to the people. He gave them to his followers, and the followers gave them to his people. Like, I think we've been reading this story, like, wrong. Like, we've been telling, when I would tell people about this story, I'm like, Jesus fed 5,000 people. He didn't. We did. His disciples did. He thanked God, blessed the food, and he gave it to his disciples, and the disciples did it. Like, we were the ones that did the miracle. The disciples were the ones that did the miracle through Jesus, through giving thanks. He's saying, when you don't have enough, involve me and I'll make it enough. If you don't have enough, like, give it to me. If you don't have any faith, give it to me. I'll give it back to you and I'll multiply it. But I think there's like so often we might say, we might over-spiritualize something and say we're waiting on Jesus to change the situation without taking any responsibility. And Jesus is saying, I will be the one that you can do it through, but I'm going to require you to take responsibility and action in this time. I'm going to require you to not send them away and give them to somebody else. There's somebody in our life right now that we're like investing in and we want to push them away. And God's like, no, like you give them the fish. You feed them. You take care of them. They're your responsibility. And someone in here right now or somebody listening, they don't think that they're good enough or smart enough or talented enough. And that's a perfect place to activate your faith. Someone in amongst us has too much and they recognize it and are arrogant about it, telling Jesus to send people away and say there's somebody else's problem. And don't worry, that's a perfect place to be as well, to activate your faith. Some of us are sitting with 5 loaves and 2 fish and waiting for Jesus to change it and says, move. Jesus says, move and there'll be enough. That's a perfect place to be as well. There's a study of lack. And if you don't know what this is called, it's called economics. Economics is a study of scarcity and its implications for the use of resources, production of goods and services, growth of production and welfare over time. And there was this guy, Milton Friedman. He was the father of modern economics. And he has this quote that says, the social responsibility of a businessman is to increase profits. Not the fiscal responsibility or his own responsibility. He says social responsibility. And I think to juxtapose that with the like that guy, if you don't know him, he's like the greed is good guy. Like people, he's kind of like on the backs of what our academic, it's kind of what new age capitalism is built on. And there's that. Then we go back to the Indonesian poet where he says greed is a little bit more than enough. And I think that's a lot more powerful. There's no one more set up to not have enough than Jesus. Even if you don't believe in God or Jesus is God, you could agree that He did some things that changed leadership for history, right? And if you're into influence, that there's somebody that was from his stature that is the most influential figure in history. And I think there's something about not having enough that puts you in a place of power, and that's what he's asking us to do, right? There's this verse, Luke 6:29, if you guys could pull that up for me. I think that speaks about and answers questions if we have capacity or enough patience. And this is another enough that I think I want to explore. And it says, Luke 6:29 says, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And when Jesus says stuff like this, he's answering those questions of capacity and patience. And God is saying that we do have that. And the reason why I believe that is because he gives us the privilege of choice to be able to make these really weird decisions to take a slap or give an extra mile or give a coat or do more than we're supposed to. I think that's evidence of that. What I love about the word enough is that it doesn't play favorites. It doesn't care about your privilege or your background or your job. It asks you a question. What I believe will all be asked by God one day, what did you do with what I gave you? It was always enough. There was always enough. And God has always been enough. So I'm going to pray us out. Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for this message. Thank you for putting it in me to share. Thank you for those that showed up today and those listening online. God, we just ask that if there's anything in here that you plant a seed of curiosity, if there's things in our life that need to be revealed, that we have either too much and we're arrogant about it, we have too little and we're not confident in your promise, God, just step forward, be known in this time, reveal to us the things that are those questions in us that are questioning if we are enough. And God, and you made it clear we are. So we give you this day. We pray this in the most holy name. Amen. Give Randy a good one. Give Randy a good one. I don't have any Sam magic words, but I'll try. May you feel like you are enough. May God remind you you're enough daily. And may we move as if we are enough. And just thank you for being here. And Sam, we miss you guys so much. And can't wait for the conversation afterwards. Thank you. Praise your name. Amen.
You've been listening to the official podcast of Genesis Community Church in Upland, California. If you've been encouraged, found hope, been challenged by what you've heard, we'd like to ask you to help spread the word by sharing our podcast with your friends and family. You can also help support our podcast by visiting us at thegenesisstory.com. It has been our pleasure to have you join us today, and we hope you'll tune in again next week.